I began a series that's near and dear to my heart, and I want to title this series, Let the Worship Begin. The aim and the goal of this series is to move us from just coming to church to really having church. That's what I want to try to do as we go through this series right now. It's a three-sermon series, but I think I can make two sermons out of the one I got this morning. So we're going to have at least four sermons. But go with me to John chapter 4 and verses 20 through 24. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Verse 20 says, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain. And you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." I want to tag this first message in this series entitled Let the Worship Begin. I want to talk about first class worship. First class worship. Worship that is first class. Worship that is real. I'm talking about true worship, not us coming out on Sundays and faking and going through the motions of worship. But I want to deal with what I have listed as first class worship. The word worship, it means to celebrate God for who He is and for what He has done. Whenever we enter into God's gates and whenever we enter into His courts, we come in to celebrate Him. We come in to give Him honor. We come in to worship Him. When we worship Him, we elevate, we expose, and we exalt. We celebrate God because He is God. And we celebrate Him because of what He has done for us. That's what worship is all about. And according to Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, Solomon shares with us the conclusion of the matter. And the wisest man that ever lived said that the whole duty, the whole responsibility, the number one purpose of man is to fear God and to keep His commandments. That word fear means to pay adoration to. It means to pay homage and to pay honor to. So what Solomon was saying is that our main purpose for being on this earth is to worship God. Even the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 and 31, he says that in whatever we do, in word or in deed, make sure that we do it for the glory of God. Can I tell you that the reason God woke you up this morning, number one on God's list, is for you to worship Him? Yes, there are some other things that God wants you to do, but you need to understand that we were created for worship. Can I tell you that worship is who we are? Can I tell you that worship is what we do? God created us to worship Him according to Psalms 148. The psalmist talks about everything worshiping God. He even talks about the sun. Listen, God created the sun not to just shine, but the number one reason that the sun comes up is to give God some praise. Can I tell you that the light from the moon, according to the word of God, is to give God some praise? Can I tell you the reason God has mountains that are elevated is to give Him some praise? Can I tell you that the reason God created the water is to give Him some praise? And isn't it strange that everything is still worshiping God, and the only one that He has a problem with is man? He doesn't have to make the sun give Him the worship. He doesn't have to make the mountains give Him the worship. But when it comes to me, somebody got to prime us. Somebody got to push us. They just got to sing our song, and they got to sing it right before we give God the praise. But I just believe that there's somebody that got up this morning with a praise on their mouth. I believe there's somebody in the church house who knows and who have come to realize that the reason I'm here is so I can give God some praise. I believe somebody came here this morning with their mind already made up, their heart fixed, that they're going to praise God if they have to praise Him by themselves. Am I preaching to anybody in here? Am I preaching about you this morning? All I'm saying to you is that since God created us to worship Him, and since when we leave here, the number one thing we're going to be doing is worshiping God, then we may as well start praising Him now. In other words, let the worship begin. Jesus in our text, as He meets this woman at the well, this Samaritan woman in our text, He talks to her about worship. She brings up the conversation about worship, and she talks about their worship and even the worship of the Jews. But Jesus sets the record straight, and He talks to her this morning about what I have labeled as first class worship. Giving God your best, giving God all you got, not leftover worship, but first class worship. Can I just lift one point up this morning? Can I just tell you that first class worship begins with a relationship with God? Can the church say a relationship? If you're going to really worship God, if you want to give God first class worship, then it starts with you having a personal relationship with God. What am I saying? I'm saying that if you want to really worship God, because you got to worship Him from the inside out, and if you want to really worship God, then you got to have the Spirit of God on the inside of you. And can I tell you, when you really got the Spirit of God on the inside of you, then when you decide to let the Spirit have His way, can I tell you that what's really taking place is God is worshiping Himself, but He's just using you. You just missed what I said. I said when you allow the Spirit to move in your life, you're just an instrument. And somebody in here is saying, use me, God, Lord, in your service. Any way you use me, I'll be satisfied. Listen, when I wave my hands, I'm allowing the Spirit of God to just give God some praise. God is really praising Himself. But there are some folks who just sit down like they've been baptized in some sour pickle juice, and they just won't allow the Spirit to worship God. But if you've been born again, you got something on the inside that's want to manifest Himself on the outside through praise. If you come here to be cute, you're at the wrong place. If you come to show up how sophisticated, how educated, how cool, calm, and collect you are, listen, you're at the wrong place. place that we come to worship Him. It's not about us, it's about Him. And it begins with a relationship, and that's what Jesus makes plain to this woman. He makes it plain that there must be a relationship with God, because Jesus shares with this woman that worship is not based on a place. It's right there in the text. Look in verse 20. She says, "Our Father." She's bragging and she's boasting now. Can I tell you, I don't care what family you're from. Can I tell you, I don't care how grandmama got Jesus all in her hands and all in her feet. You got to have Him. You got to get Him for yourself. I don't care what position your mother, your father may have in the church. Listen, they can't praise Him for you. You got to praise Him for yourself. She thinks that she's putting Jesus in check right now. Look at her. She says, "Our Father, worship on this mountain." Where we are right now, our fathers worship on this mountain. But you Jews, she put Jesus in the same category with the rest of them. She said, "But you Jews," she's trying to be negative now, "say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." She was talking about Mount Gerizim, that great mountain that Sambalek built the great temple for under the leadership of Alexander of Macedonia when they won that battle over the great army of the Issachars. And when that great army had been defeated, Alexander gave Sambalek permission to build that great temple. And they built the temple for God, and the Sumerians were worshiping God there. But then they allowed idol worship to come in. And they became known as the cut-off ones, because they allowed their worship to be mixed with other stuff. Can I tell you that when you mix other stuff in worship, then worship is no longer worship. Other stuff, when you bring the world in and try to put it in worship, then worship becomes an entertainment. Rather than, there is a difference, you may not know it, but there is a difference. See, you can sing a biblical song and still not be worshiping God. You can be just entertaining. Worship can't be mixed with a lot of other stuff. You can't put mess in worship and expect worship to remain worship. That's what the Samaritans did. So she said, well, there's a conflict in the place, because we think that it's on this mountain, but you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place. And she had some Bible behind what she said. Because Jesus did tell Solomon to build me a temple in Jerusalem so that the people could come there and worship me. So she had some Bible behind what she was saying, and she had a conflict in the place. But the problem with what she said was that she tried to make a certain place the worship headquarters. She tried to make a certain mountain the place that you had to be in order to worship God. But don't laugh at her. Don't be too rough on her. Because if the truth be told, if you would look at this thing that we call denominations, there are some folks that are saying Mount Methodist is the place to worship. There are those that are saying Mount Church of God in Christ is the only place that you can really worship God. There are those that are saying, no, you got to come to Mount Pentecost, where we just speak in tongues. Everybody can just get up at the same time. That's the place. And then there's some of us that says, no, you got to come to Mount Baptist, where we give that Baptist dollar. No, that's the place of worship. But can I tell you that God can't just be confined to one place? worship is not based on a place. That's why David said in Psalm 34 and 1, listen, I'll bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. What am I saying? I'm saying that you don't have to be at church to have church. I know I got some help here now. I said, you don't have to walk through these doors. The deacon doesn't have to open us up. The choir doesn't have to sing. The preacher doesn't have to preach. You don't have to be at church to have church. I just believe that there are some folks in here that when they think about the goodness of God and all God has done for them, even when they're at home, they'll have church at home. Anybody ever had church at home? Yeah, your mama used to do it all the time. I've told you the story before. Mama would be in the kitchen with flour cooking and everything, and she was getting a meal ready. I used to think mama was just having some accident, getting a little clumsy, dropping stuff. But one time I sort of snuck up on mama, and mama had a breakthrough flashback. Flour went everywhere. I believe somebody in here has been at home. I don't know if Deacon Richard remember this, but about 8 or 10 years ago, he said in the middle of his sleep, he woke up, Gene was walking around on the bed, just walking on the bed, dancing, giving God some praise. There's some folks that at home that's not ashamed to have church. She is a little crazy though, brother, but there are some folks that have church at home. I thought I better let you know that, but there are some folks at home that will praise God in their home. I believe that there are some people, when they think about what God has done for them, they'll take a praise break at work. Instead of them taking a smoke break or a snack break, they'll take a shout break. They'll go somewhere and get their praise on. Anybody in here ever praised them on your job? Ever went to your secret prayer closet? Maybe you just went to the bathroom, went to the break room. Maybe you just got in your car and you just said, Lord, I just want to thank you. I know I'm in here when I tell you that there are some folks that are praising in the car. Oh yeah, I know there's some folks in here. You've been driving down the road, taking a trip, going where you were going, got there before you knew it, made turns that you don't even remember making because you were getting your praise on. Anybody in here will praise them anywhere. So I'm saying you don't have to be at church to praise God, but the flip side of the coin is that, yes, you don't have to be at church to have church, but since you are at church, you just ought to. I said, since you got up this morning, since you put your clothes on, since you've decided that this is the day the Lord has made, since you're in God's house, you ought to just go ahead and have some church while you're here. I don't care what you're going through. You need to just go ahead and have some church. You may be in a battle right now, but can I tell you, go ahead and have church, because you don't have to wait until the battle is over to shout. You can shout right now. Anybody in here, go praise them while you have a chance. Yeah, since you're in the church, you need to praise them, because the church is the place, my brothers and sisters. It's a place for us to come out and get our praise on. The church is the amen arena, so you ought to have church when you're here. The church is the bless his name building, so you ought to have church while you're here. The church is a house for hallelujahs, so you ought to have church while you're here. The church is a dome for you to get your dance on, so you ought to have church while you're here. The church is a place for you to praise him, so why not have church while you're here? And just a second, set the record straight. Let me just have a quick church meeting in here. It's just going to be a few seconds. I just want to put a motion on the floor. I just want to move today, and I want all of you to hear what I'm saying. I want to put a motion on the floor. Clerks, y'all write this down if you want to. I just want to move today that whenever you step into God's sanctuary, I just want to move today that even during the time that the announcements are given, even during the time that the deacons are praying, even during the time that we're taking up the offering, even during the time that we're fellowshipping with one another,
even during the time that the word is preached, I want to move that the praise floor is open. What am I saying? I'm saying that the dance floor in God's house is always open. You don't have to wait till somebody to sing a song. If God reminds you of how good He's been to you, you better take off while you have a chance. That's all I'm saying to you. I don't care if they're reading the announcement. If the Spirit of God says, I want you to start jumping, you better start jumping. Is there anybody in here that feels like getting your praise on? Has God been good to you? Has He made a way for you? Has God taken care of you? I don't know how you feel about it, but I just feel like praising Him today. I just feel like giving Him the worship today. I just feel like lifting Him up today. God has been good to me. Tell somebody, God has been good to me. Come on, let's take a testimony break. Tell somebody, God's been good to me. Tell somebody, when I went to Florida, God kept me while I was in Florida. God's been good to me. Tell somebody that although my mama is sick right now, God is still keeping mama. Tell them God has been good to me. I'm preaching to individuals in here that I know that's going through some stuff, but yet God has been good to you. You better learn how to give Him some praise because He's worthy.